It's a pretty magical process, I have to say, especially because this is a new production. And so the director got free rein to decide what this production would look like. And having Jake present during the opening was enormous for both of us. I mean, to really have his feedback as well. And we were here a week before we actually started staging things, where we just spoke through the score. And David and I could really use this as dialogue. And it's a real conversation between me and David. And the process of working with Christine, and then the process of having Des Moines Metro Opera be so open to letting us just play and have this amazing free reign to create such an important work. I mean, it's not every day we get to speak to the composer directly, and also the protagonist who is present in my life and in all of our lives, that I can call her up and ask her about motivations and what she was doing in this moment and how she felt about Joseph Desrochers. And it's pretty incredible to be a part of something in a contemporary setting, that we have access to all of these resources to just enhance the piece.
That's been the big thing for me about this project, has been having access to all of these extant resources. You spent a week with Sister Helen, two weeks?
I did, a full week. And
we shared
an apartment with, it was me and her and my three-month-old baby. With whom she was quite patient and loving. And it was just brilliant, because I could see this incredibly profound, amazing woman, you know, in a very relaxed environment where, honestly, I was just enjoying her presence and speaking with her. But I was also watching her walk and watching her take sips of juice or scotch and, you know, just watching her humor, and, you know, that informs the character enormously. I mean, how I cross a stage or how I make an entrance, all of that stuff, all the physical things that, you know, we know are very important for maybe an 18th century opera or portraying Madame Butterfly, but we don't really associate the importance of, like, the physical characterization of someone in the 21st century. And this is a person. This is a real person. And I have sung this for her friends who have said to me, oh, yeah, that looked like her when she was in her 30s, you know, her behavior. And that's exciting to be able to have those opportunities with her.
What do you feel about Jake Hagee's setting of Sister Helen and how her music fits in with the rest of the opera?
Jake understands Helen. I mean, they have the most incredible relationship. Then in the opera, the way Helen is funny and profound and touching and completely sincere all simultaneously, it's something that's very challenging to reconcile in creating a character. That's just a human being, but he's somehow managed to do that with a lot of humor and things that she says. Even in the toughest moments between her and Joe, we still see a lot of humor and sincerity in her.
Well, David, tell us about your character and how you came to this. This is not an easy role just to jump right into, I wouldn't think.
It's interesting because, you know, looking at this story initially, I'm from the Texas-Louisiana border originally, and half of my family are Cajun. So when I was looking at this originally, I was thinking, well, you know, I'll be able to do the accent well, you know, and I started contacting some of the Cajun half of my family just to kind of have some contact with them. But I just wasn't getting there yet. So, you know, I'd read through the score and the libretto and everything, and I thought it was a very powerful story. But, you know, I think for me, coming from the small Texas town and going into this opera career and moving to New York and traveling all over the world and all that, I sort of adapted a new culture or subculture, as it were, and you know, assimilated to it in a way. And I can guarantee you the first 5-10 years after I left for school, whenever I would come back home, I felt so awkward, you know, and I would go to Walmart and people would ask me, where are you from, honey? You know, and I'd be like, I'm from down the road, you know, so, you know, I struggled with this for a long time. And so, you know, in getting back to this character, I was thinking, well, you know, I'll do the accent well, that's for sure. But there was still a lot more than I needed. I ended up finding an opportunity to visit Angola prison. And so I asked my dad if he wanted to accompany me. I thought he might find it interesting, and I just wanted some company, you know, going there. And Dad was totally game for it. We got up at like 4:30 in the morning and drove from his house to Angola. And I got there and I was introduced immediately to the warden, and everyone there was very welcoming. And And I managed to get a 2.5-hour private tour of the grounds, and I was able to actually see the cell block in which Sister Helen and the two people on which my character is based, in which I got to see the cell block where these inmates lived and where Sister Helen visited them. I got to see the death house from the outside. And the really wonderful thing there was I got to meet several inmates. Now, the death row inmates are kept in seclusion for 23 hours a day, so I wasn't able to meet any of them. But I did meet quite a few people who were there for life. And I actually got to meet two men from the exact same town and same heritage and background, and actually who were in there for similar crimes as the men on which my character is based. One of them happened to be the best friend of essentially my character's brother. So the brother died just this past December, and I ended up meeting his best friend and getting to talk to him about some of his mannerisms and his personality and things like that. The big revelation for me was in going to Angola and meeting a lot of these guys, I realized we're all from a similar kind of culture, you know? And I grew up with so many people who were very much like Joseph de Rocher, who were from very poor, very torn families, and who didn't have a whole lot of native intelligence to be able to sort their situations out and make a life for themselves. And once I realized that, then this character really clicked, because I was like, part of the reason why it felt like in the beginning I wasn't able to get to this character was because it was so close to me and I didn't see where I needed to go for it. And then once that happened, it became just like something I just settled into. And if you really understand where that vulnerability is inside him that he's trying to protect and what he's struggling against, then the behavior itself just comes very, very naturally.